Welcome to the Layman Filmmakers Conversation, the show that brings the ultra-low to no-budget filmmakers together. On the show, there will be discussions on your latest films, the struggles, the difficulties, and the experiences endured on the creative storytelling journey.
Hello and welcome to the Layman Filmmakers Conversation. I'm your host, Daniel Pellegrino, and on this episode, I will be discussing general micro-budget filmmaking with my guest, who is a producer that started out making films with little to no money and now has amassed an abundance of experience producing low-budget films. So, without wasting any more time, please join us on the conversation, and I hope you enjoy it as we dive into producing no to micro-budget films. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Layman Filmmakers Conversation. I'm your host, Daniel Pellegrino, and on today's show, we'll be talking about producing no-budget films with my guest. Please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about yourself.
Hello, my name is Morgan, and I graduated from Portland State University in Portland, Oregon, a couple of years ago, and when I was in school, I started getting into producing and worked on a lot of short films and then a feature film, and then have been sort of working in the industry as an assistant. And now I'm going to be producing another feature film. And I really enjoy just working on the creative side and creating interesting stories and working with very cool people. So I've done quite a few micro budget films, and I'm really excited to do some more. So that's me.
Brilliant. So, talking about micro-budget, tell me what your definition of a no ultra micro-budget film is.
Well, I don't even know what the full definition would be. We were just talking about this, and I think you mentioned that it something like what's the budget range, and or what would you think? And I do agree that it would be somewhere like below 20,000. And the SAG rules do say for like micro budget, it would be under 20,000, or ultra low budget is under 200,000. If you don't have SAG, then that's fine too. And you can make a film for $0. You can make a film for $20,000. It's probably still going to be like at least a couple hundred dollars. Just like making a film that like whatever you want to make with as little resources as you have.
Fundamentally, that's what's important, isn't it? Because I mean, again, we talk about student projects where you might have a few hundred pounds or dollars or a few thousand dollars to make a project. And obviously that money needs to be distributed and spent properly. I mean, you're talking about, obviously we'll go in and out of topics, but you sort of touched on SAG, which is in the States, it seems like it is a big deal. Whereas over here in the UK, it's, I just need an actor or an actress. Let's get someone to play that part. I mean, what are the rules and regulations over there for someone that's not in the union?
Well, obviously, I mean, you could just make a film with a couple friends or people who are non-union, non-SAG actors, whenever you want. A lot of people do things under the table, even with those people, which is fine. If that's what you want to do, and you found me via Facebook, and that's where a lot of things happen in Portland. Portland is a huge indie filmmaking place. There isn't a lot of rules here yet, besides just the basic union and non-union and SAG and non-SAG. So a lot of times if I'm working on a project, we'll just go on all those Facebook pages. There's like the Portland Film Community, Portland Actors, Portland Indie Filmmakers page, and I'll post a casting call with all the information, and people will send me their headshots and reels if they have them to my email, and then I'll send them some sides they can read, and then they send back a video, or we'll set up something where they come in, and it's pretty fun. You know, you're kind of doing everything, and I really like that process. But what are the rules? You know, I think that the basic rules of like casting someone SAG on like a non-union project, I think it's, you know, if you're like doing a micro budget, I think it's like $206 a day that you're required to pay them right now. But I think there's like a negotiation process, which if they ask for more, then that's something you can do. But then for the crew, I think that's all negotiable. And so the project I'm working on right now, we do have some SAG actors that we will be paying like their original rate, but then all like the main cast, all the other cast, we're casting either non-actors in the roles, and then we'll obviously see what they're comfortable with. A lot of them are just our friends. I know you mentioned that you sometimes act in your own projects too, and it's partly because of money. And so I agree. I think like when you're working on these micro budget films, you just kind of will bring in as many friends as and family as possible. We're kind of helping you as a favor, but it should be really fun, a creative process to make you guys all get closer, do something fun together. If it's people that you don't know, then hopefully it's just a good experience that gets them more experience to want to work on more projects after this.
Absolutely. Totally agree. So, you know, go even like when you cast, say, friends and family, I'm just going to drag it back a notch rather than take it up a notch. Drag it back a notch simply because I want to take it as gritty as we can, basically. But, sure. You know, when you do cast or bring your friends and family, for example, people you know, onto, a project with next to no funds, as a producer, obviously, you still have a level of responsibility with these guys. It's not, you know, at the end of the day, it is, you know, just rock up at a house or a location, but you still have, as a producer, your responsibilities, i.e. safety, et cetera, et cetera. Say you were to make a film with a skeleton crew and a few friends and family, what would be your protocol? What would be your process going forward from there?
Originally, it's good to just bring as many people on as I know. And it depends on what I'm working on, like I said, but say it's like a project. What I've done so far is I've worked with people who are like my friends who have written and want to direct this project. So then I'll just come on as a producer, and then like we'll go through the script together, and like I try to get involved because that's the way I'm going to make it. That's the way that's going to be the most enjoyable for me. So we'll just write notes on the script and we'll make changes, and I'll get really involved in like what the director wants, almost to the point where like I'm kind of like a co-director. So I'm like kind of producing and co-directing with them. And then ideally, if it's just a really small budget, we just find like a DP and we'll find a sound person. And then from there, we'll just film it. And then, we'll cast people on those Facebook pages, or there's casting websites where you can post these casting calls with your information. And so we'll post those, and we'll usually host a small casting session. Like, well, what we've done when I was in school, which I still do this because I live near my school, is we'll just go to a random study room and I'll wait there for like 2 hours before we're supposed to start. And then that way nobody else comes in. And then when everyone gets there, I'll like lock the door so that nobody from the school comes to study there. And it's just our room and it's free.
So with when it comes to casting over the last, say, 18 months, let's say 18 months with the whole pandemic situation, what would be your, it'd probably be people's pet hate, but if you were to do a casting via Zoom, if that was your last sort of resort, would you do that, or would you only do that if you really had to? What's the score there?
Yeah, I would do that. It's also interesting because I think a lot of people are starting to make comments on people who will do stuff like this at this budget and then try to find people to work on their project for free. And that's kind of, there's a little bit of like tension there. So that's why I think it's way more common to now start bringing on your friends, like stop trying to like act like this is a huge professional project. Right. I mean, it can be professional. It can look professional if you have the gear or if you have a great story. But now it's just like, just do act like a normal human being and then like cast the people or bring crew members on. So I think like with casting, I think with like Zoom casting is fine. Videotapes are fine. I think another way that I've done it, which I really enjoy, this is a directing thing, not really a producing thing. Just talking to people, like having a Zoom call, like maybe like get an audition tape from them, have them email you one, and just like chat with them on Zoom about their life and like see if they fit the character, because you can just spend hours on hours like watching these tapes, doing Zoom interviews or Zoom auditions, and then just be like, they're all the same. And I think that if you're doing micro budget, you might as well just like find people, like seek people out instead of waiting for them to come to you. Just find the people that you want to talk to, that you've seen in other projects in the town, or friends of yours that you think would be really good, and then ask them to send in a videotape or just Zoom call them. I don't know. In person's cool too, but I think they can both be the same if you do it a certain way.
Yeah. I think with, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you have someone actually, obviously pandemic aside, but when you actually, like you've said, you have people come in to actually have, you know, an audition, it's like you're saying, it's nice to have that, you know, that conversation with them face to face and actually get a vibe off them to see what they're like in real life, like you're saying. And sometimes, you know, maybe via Zoom, you don't necessarily get that vibe from them. And maybe when you do work with your friend, like you're saying, when you do work with people that you already know, you know, maybe that guy or that girl can really fit that role, you know, let's see if they're available. And then, you know, it's just a process from there. So I it's interesting to see sort of like the process that you would take into casting. So with regard, you sort of touched on, you would go out and get a DP and a sound guy, etc. Do you have your own, or do you go out and search for specific projects? Because obviously, depending on the dates, you might not find, you know, your friends might not be available. What would you do there if you needed to hire, or not hire, or ask someone to come on board and help out with the project?
Yeah, I think back when I was in school and I like didn't know a lot of people and I hadn't worked on that many projects, it was a lot of me just like asking around, which I think was fine back then. But now, I know that was like 5 years ago, but now it's much more awkward to ask people that I don't know to work for no money, or unless I believe the project is going to go really far, or if I don't know. I mean, it just depends on the kind of the people that you're meeting. But now I think I have people that I know, and I know a lot of people in Portland that do work as a DP or a sound person, or I know people that are really talented that don't have a lot of work yet and they want to get more experience. Or like there's people that I know like what kind of films they make, and I'm like, oh, this script really sounds like something you would like. So then I'll reach out and say like, hey, would you be interested? Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like as a producer, you, and maybe you know this too, because you say you also produce, it's just like making sure that the projects that I am saying yes to and that I am working on, if it's not something I also like wrote or something, that the people that are directing it and writing it are like also a producer as well, and maybe like have a lot of work under their belt that is really good. Because otherwise it's just like a little awkward to try to find a bunch of resources for them when we don't have very much money. If I like really believe in the project, you just kind of know.
No, absolutely. Do you tend to use the same people, or people, I say crew, when, you know, when making a project?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've worked with like a lot of different people on these projects, but there are like the same like couple people that I'll work with or I'll reach out to. I think it's more common for someone who's directing to work with the same DP on these kind of things, unless it's like a documentary or something. Yeah. But there's like the same like five people that I'll cycle through.
Because the reason why I say that, because I always use, personally, I always use the same people. The one time I didn't, it was an absolute nightmare, because I literally had to scramble out to go and look for, it was my own fault because I had to film in another country. I had to go to Italy to film. And obviously I couldn't afford to bring my DP out with me. So, you know, I had all friends going, I know someone with a camera. Don't worry. This is going to be fun. And it did end up being a nightmare because, you know, when you work with someone that, again, you meet them the first time and you think, yeah, this could, you know, looks like it's a good relationship. This could be. And then, you know, 2 days into your shoot, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And luckily, I'm assuming you've had your difficulties on set, but as a producer, you need to sort of, obviously the director needs to steer the ship, but the producer needs to do a lot of the cleaning up as well. So I found myself cleaning up a lot, so, you know, trying to help myself sort of direct the ship in the right direction. So have you had any awkwardnesses on set, even though you've, I don't know, have you, what sort of, tell me one of your so-called bad experiences that you've had on set.
This one isn't actually as bad, it's more kind of funny, but I guess it could have been a bad experience. But So I was working on this project and we needed a police car for a scene because it was supposed to be like a police scene, like police chase kind of thing. They weren't going to be driving the car. It was just going to be like in the shot. And then so we were having a really hard time. There was just so many other things to focus on that I was like, that was like the last thing on my mind. And it was kind of okay if it wasn't there. But then I had this other friend who was helping with just some random things that I needed help with. And he's really good at getting cars. So he posted on a Facebook page. It was like a car Facebook page. I didn't know that he did this, but he posted saying like, hey, my friend needs a police car. They're filming at this location today at this time. And is anybody available? So I was like, I didn't know that he posted this. So then I told the like director and DP, I was like, hey, do you think you guys can do this without the police car? Because I don't think we're going to have one. We need the police car. So I found somebody, like my friend sent me somebody that posted on this Facebook page, said they were free. And I called them and they were like, well, you'll have to give me like $20 for gas. Like maybe I can make it. I'm only going to have time from like 5 to 6 p.m. And I was like, it's just like too stressful. They might show up and then have to leave because we're going running behind or something. And so then I just told them we don't have a police car. So then we're like, okay, it's fine. We're just not going to have one. And so then when I was walking over and somebody calls me and they're like, hey, Morgan. And I was like, hey, like I thought maybe it was some random person who was supposed to help out for the day, but I couldn't remember their name. So I was like, yeah, we're just filming over here. Cause they asked where we were. And I just told them to go park there, like in the parking area. And then I show up and it was this guy with a police car. And I was like, oh, I guess we do have a police car. But then the director and DP were like, well, we don't really need one anymore. We already kind of thought of a new way to film the scene. And then I felt so bad that the guy came all the way out here just to be in the scene. And so, and he like brought his kid and his kid was really excited to be there. It wasn't that cool of a project, but I'm sure it's exciting if you're not a part of like a film community. But then he was like, oh, does this car look cool to you? And I was like, yeah, we were kind of hoping it would look more like this, but this is great. And then he's like, oh, well, no worries. And so then I come back and he's like, hey, I have 5 friends with police cars on the way. Just so you can have options. And so like 5 police cars showed up so we could like pick which one we wanted. And I was like, we have to get a police car shot now. I don't want to like waste their time. God. So we ended up getting one and they were all like, they didn't ask us to like pay them. So that was cool.
That is so cool.
And it was kind of a funny experience.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, so that was a good experience.
That's it went from bad to good.
I know. I don't know if have you had any experiences that were like, that were like good, but.
The only one funny, is it funny? Basically, the one of the main characters that guys I cast in one of my previous films, he says he's an actor. He's not, obviously, but he likes to brag that he is. But when we were, it was a part of a skeptic. And I said to our friend, I said, look, I really want to, I think he'd be brilliant for the part, you know, because I know him as a person. And if I just get him to be himself, he would smash it. He would be absolutely amazing. And my friend kept saying, she was like, are you sure about this? You know, you do know he's an absolute nightmare and he will be a nightmare for 5 days. I said, don't worry. I'll have him under control. He'll be fine. Don't worry. I know what to do. I can deal with him. And I tell you what, he was the biggest pain in my ass ever, but he was unbelievable on screen. He absolutely smashed it. He was sensational. In fact, to this day, I still think he was one of my best casts because he was just absolutely brilliant. But behind the scene, he was a 50-year-old man acting like an absolute child. In fact, one of the kids that we had on set was like, am I the child or is he the child? And I was like, that's a very good question. But yeah, but look, at the end of the day, like you said, it went from bad being on set, but then the final product, he was brilliant. He absolutely, I hate to say that I was right, but I was right in casting him in the end. So, but yeah, that was my bad-ish experience. That turned good.
Yeah.
So
I feel like those kind of things are, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it in the end. It feels like you wouldn't go back and you feel bad about doing that. But then like everyone's probably going to forget about it just because of how great the product was. Hopefully that's what people think.
I don't know. Absolutely. In fact, when we screened it, people were, you know, they really enjoyed it, and they enjoyed his performance as well. So that helped a great deal. I mean, sometimes you've got to take, as a producer director, you've got to take these gut sort of instinct decisions, so to speak. Sometimes they can go wrong. Sometimes they are, you know, you can nail them. But sort of going back on set, taking it back a few notches with regards to safety, how, for someone starting out, obviously what we're doing is it's informative. It's not educational, because there's plenty of people out there that are telling people how to do their films. But, you know, we just want to, you know, we want to tell people, you know, our experiences, so they know where not to tread. Even though you have friends and family, what are your safety sort of, you know, do you brief people before you walk on set? What's your protocol?
Making sure that everybody's asking for help when they need to. I feel like it's really great to have everybody do stuff together.
Yeah.
Is just like having a good time, but like, when we're working on a project, really getting close with everybody and becoming friends, making people who maybe you don't know very well, or if there's someone who's like, hey, I really want to get into film, and they join the project because they hear about it through something, and they might feel like they're not as important, which isn't true. They're like just as much a part of the process. So like Absolutely. Involving them in every step of the way. And I feel like as a producer, like you're almost kind of like also in AD, you're also the props person. You kind of just like do everything to like be involved and make sure it's all going well. Yeah, I guess that's the biggest thing, is just like making sure we're all there together and we're all doing the scenes together. If there's like, there's also little things. I'm trying to think of like a specific experience, but I remember we were filming in like an hour away for this short film, and we were supposed to be wrapping at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And then everyone would have to drive an hour back, and we don't have money to like house people in the area. So we were either going to have people like camp out in the backyard, like bring their tents so that like we can safely have people there. Some people didn't want to do that, and so they just drove back. But we were originally thinking of having like one person drive everybody, so that there's not like six people driving an hour home and we don't know how each of them are doing. I think we ended up doing more of the camping thing. So I would recommend that, but I don't know. It's just important to think about everyone's well-being.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And by the way, I'm not dropping you in it. This is producer talking to producer. We're just having a chat here. Do you get insurance when you, even if it's on a small project? Because me personally, if I budget for something, for me, the most important things to budget for are food, insurance, and sound. Those for me are the three most important things. What about yourself?
I think insurance is definitely like something you should put at the top of your list.
Yeah, definitely. Simply because, you know, if I'm assuming you've had nothing, you know, bad go wrong on your shoots, but you it'll always play in the back of your mind, you know, if someone hurts themselves, or, you know, for whatever reason, you know, something bad happens on set, you know, it's good to have your back covered at the end of the day. And I'm not sure what it's like in the States, but over here in the UK, I'm not in the UK at the moment, but in the UK it's actually quite affordable, depending on the length of your production. And it's quite a hefty coverage as well. So it's, I mean, like I said, I won't go into details, but it is, I would definitely, and I'm assuming you do the same, you definitely recommend, getting your, even if it is a 5 minute short, whatever it is, get yourself covered, because it's absolutely fundamental. And also it's a good peace of mind for the producers, you know, and for everyone on set, knowing that, you know, obviously don't go out and get yourself hurt, but just, you know, it's just nice. It's nice that you have, you know, that you're covered in case, because I'm assuming, like, I'm talking from personal experience. Like, you don't want to be in a production and you have to be going, oh my God, I hope everyone's okay. I hope no one's done. You know, you're sort of panicking, like, around, like making sure that everyone's not getting hurt and whatnot. It's the last thing you want to be doing, even if it is just like five or six of you on set, you know, it's crazy. But one of the questions I was going to ask, which you actually, you know, you answered actually, is surrounding yourself with the right people, you know, with with people that you do trust. And by the sounds of it, you, that's exactly what you do. In, you know, Cars crew. I personally haven't, I mean, I don't know about yourself, but by what you said, you haven't, but you know, surrounding yourself, being on set with people that you don't know must be kind of tense, if you like. I mean, I don't know if you've, I mean, as an actor, I've been on set sort of, I don't know anyone. Oh my God, am I going to get my lines right? I'm panicking. Blah. But when you, as a producer, you pretty much know everyone, don't you? And you sort of make sure that everyone is comfortable on set.
Yeah. Well, that's something I feel like is my best trait on why I feel like producing is the best thing for me. Well, or directing, this could be both, is that I like tend to be more charismatic, and especially when there's large groups of people, I just want everyone to feel important, everyone to feel special. This is to some extent. And so I think that's really important. And especially because I don't know how it is for you and the people around you in the film community in your area, but people here, there's just this expectation behind like how hard you have to work and how, like if your films are good or not, then the people perceive you a certain way. So I feel like people like idolize people who work really hard, even if the person is not super experienced in the industry or in filmmaking or has only made one film. And I mean, I do too a little bit, but if you're like a young person or older person, whatever, who wants to be like a part of the film production so that you're like, hey, I'll be like you're a PA or something, and they come on the project. Sometimes they're like nervous that they're not doing a good enough job so that they're not going to like be brought back for another project or something. Like that's how I feel whenever I go work on anything. But, like that's not mine. I don't know. I just want people to feel like they can be a part of the process and they can share their thoughts and they can share like if they were feeling uncomfortable or if somebody makes them feel uncomfortable, we can like address that soon. I don't know. I think that's like one of the most important things. And something that this is so silly, but something I would do with people is like at the end of the day, every day, we would all talk about like what went well and what didn't go well, like how we can improve the next day. And then we would like sing a song together or something. And it would just be really silly. And it would feel like we're at camp or something.
Yeah, but that's good vibes.
I think people thought it was like, they're like, what is Morgan having us do now? But... yeah, so good vibes all around. That's the goal.
It makes, don't you feel that it makes, you know, the day go so much smoother? It's just so nice when, you know, you have someone like yourself on set sort of making sure everyone's on the right page, everyone's working harmoniously. If someone's stressed, you go over. I mean, it's tough for us as producers because half the time we're stressed, but it's kind of nice when you're making someone else feel at ease. You know, because then it makes you feel good as a person. You think, well, okay, that person's good. We can move on. We can get things going. And at the end of the day, you can't accommodate everyone, but it's always nice to see that, you know, things go so smooth, because that's what you want on a film set. Because, I mean, you and I both know some of the horrific things that go on set. Luckily, I haven't been on any of these really bad projects. You know, when you hear these horror stories, you think, what is going on? You know?
Yeah. I think it can be really hard. You, as a producer, you're taking on so much sometimes that like it feels like you have to take on every emotion of every person. And I think like that can be healthy to an extent, but that can also be unhealthy. So I don't know if you have experience and if it's affected you and your productions.
I think if people know, like you said, you bring people on board that you know, and once they know you, I mean, when you do bring on these people that know you, they already know how you function and how you work. So they already know not to stress you out or not to piss you off or not to say the wrong thing. Just even if they are friends, but they know at the end of the day, this is kind of like a job, if you like, because they probably know that it's your own money that you're working with, you know, and all these things. If you have responsible people that everyone respects one another, you know, again, you know, there shouldn't be any issues on set. I mean, I haven't had any problems, luckily, neither on my set or on anyone else's set, which is really weird when I do hear these crazy stories about, you know, the crap that goes on. But I don't know whether it's whether people go over budget or whatnot, which is, I was actually going to ask you that, have you ever gone over budget on any of your projects?
Yeah, well, the feature that I did when I was in school, or like for part of the school organization. So I think I said we raised $4,000 for production. We already had gear. We already had insurance because the school provided those things. So we had those things. We raised $4,000 for production. And then in post-production, we like raised more money. We raised like $2,000 to submit it to festivals and have a screening for everybody and have like a little wrap party. So nice. We did that. But then I definitely used probably like $1,000 of my own money, just because, well, with the school, we raised money through a platform that they wanted us to use. And if right. we wanted to get money out of it, you couldn't just go and like use a credit card or anything.
Right.
And it didn't transfer to like my own bank account. I would have to like request money, and it would take like a month for me to get any of the money back. So I would be like, I kind of like held some of the money is for my family. My family, they just sent me cash and we used that a lot of the time. But I used like probably $1,000 of my own money to just like do whatever we could. But that wasn't the plan. So like, I would say with that kind of situation, we did go over budget because the budget was kind of just like, it was so tight, and it was just like whatever we need. But I think I also didn't do a very good job about like budgeting, but now I am much more careful with projects, and we haven't really gone over budget as much just because things were not as important. They're smaller projects, and but it's very likely to happen.
Do you think that's one of the things a lot of beginner filmmakers do, is go over budget?
I think it depends on the person, like who's putting the money in. And if it's like the writer, director, creator, producer, and all of them are like creating this and they want to just put their own money and they're just like, whatever it takes, then that's fine. But I feel like it's really important to make a budget, because you could say like whatever it takes, but then you could spend like $10,000 and be like, dang, I could have saved $5,000 of that and just made this much simpler for myself. I think people should make budgets for themselves and then try to stick to them. It's hard though, for sure.
And obviously a part of not going over budget is obviously preparation. I mean, that's the one thing that I was told when I first started producing, is a very good friend of mine, she said to me, Dan, if you're going to do this, preparation, preparation, preparation. And I literally stuck by those words, because it's, I think it's not just in filmmaking, it's in any, you know, industry. You need to be prepared. You know, you need to lay out everything you know, you're going to go into your production. You need to have everything in order. You can't just go, okay, let's just rock up and film, you know, because that's where, you know, the money gets spent if you're not careful. Do you have any on that regard? Do you have any hints, tips, or advice?
Some things I've done in the past was reach out to like food, like restaurants who throw out food, because like every restaurant throws out all their food at the end of the night, and just ask if we can get like boxed up like the rest of the food.
Brilliant.
That they're going to throw out and like use that for like catering the next day. So I mean, like, if there's ways that you can think about that when you're in pre-production, when you're planning to like save money, that's great. And I've also found that if you ask people for stuff for free first, then sometimes you're more likely to get people to say yes to free things or cheap things than others. And yeah, like somebody else, we have this actor coming in, and we emailed a bunch of hotels and asked if they would be interested in hosting this actor for a lower price or for free, or I don't remember if we asked for free first, and one of them got back to us and was just like, yeah, we love filmmaking. Sure. We'll host Brilliant. This actress for, you know, like $20 a night or something. And obviously that doesn't work everywhere, but it's in Portland, it's worked out pretty well.
That's a really good idea. That I didn't think of that. You know, what you just said is
yeah,
bang on.
Thank you.
I mean, it is all about, you know, being prepared and, you know, being sensible really with your money, you know, treat it like your own. I mean, I've always, apart from, you know, my own money, I've also had other people's money. So it makes you just as more anxious. Oh shit. You know, if you, go over budget, then you feel obligated to explain why you've got it's an absolute mess. So I think when you use other people's money and you feel like your back is against the wall, you're more tempted to go, oh, hang on a sec, let me really work out how things are going to go. Whereas what I found is you said you crowdfunded, didn't you? You said you did a bit of crowdfunding. Because I did that once, yes. And I found, because we raised quite a bit of money, and obviously it was our first time, this was back in 2014, we went a bit wild and we went well over budget, and then we actually ended up spending our own money. And then the worst thing about that was that we then had to explain to our backers why they weren't getting some of their perks. So that was a learning curve for me. I was like, well, because it was when Kickstarter first started. So for us, it was all like, oh my God, we're asking people for money. They're just going to start throwing money. And luckily we managed to raise money because obviously the people that we asked knew us as filmmakers. What is your take on crowdfunding, especially now that it seems to be in full throttle?
Yeah, well, I've done a few crowdfunding campaigns. I was a part of one for this project. It was called Good Chemistry. It was like a little short film that was just about like women in STEM, and these like people go and make like Thanksgiving dinner in a chemistry lab. Anyway, I'm not super part of the story, but just wanted to plug that in. And so we did a little crowdfunding course, and we ended up making the money back with crowdfunding. So I did that, and I learned a lot from that. And so we ended up like fundraising like $20,000, which is what we were looking for. But I think a lot of people who are making short films will just keep going. They crowdfund for like every project, and they just keep going. And I feel like that's not always the best thing to do. I've seen some people have success doing it if they space it out enough. I feel like if you're going to do crowdfunding, maybe wait till it's a project that's actually worth it for you.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. Like, I really want to make sure that I'm not crowdfunding for any more people unless it's for something I'm super passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Yeah, I don't know about you. If you've how many crowdfunding campaigns you've been a part of?
I've already been on one. I've only done one, simply because it was when it all started. So we were all like, oh, we could get money to make our film. This is fun, and it actually ended up being very stressful because we obviously were asking people that knew us, that they believed in us as filmmakers, and they gave us money, and then we ended up obviously making the project, putting our own money in. And like I was saying, like, we, because we'd gone well over budget and we couldn't supply certain things, it was just a nightmare. But like you said, now that I've learned how other people have done it, I would totally approach it in a different way if I was to do a crowdfunding campaign. So what you said is definitely, I'd definitely agree with you when saying, you know, if you're going to do a project that you're absolutely passionate about, then think about doing it. Because I think there are too many people out there that go, oh, we can raise 5, 10, 50, whatever it is, and we can make our film. And I think what you said is bang on the money. You know, unless it's a passion project that you know you can deliver on 100%, don't do it. I agree with that, absolutely. And finally, I've got one last question for you. You said, you mentioned film festivals. Now, I'm not a big fan of them, but what is your take on them?
Oh, wow. I'm curious to know why. Well, okay. I'm trying to think about what I really think, but I think that there's some film festivals that can be really beneficial. And like, for me, I made this documentary, it was like a short documentary, and I submitted it to a few like local film festivals and a few documentary film festivals. And it was really fun to just go to the film festival. They give you like a little name tag and they give you a fun gift bag. And then you get to meet the filmmakers, you go out to drinks. And that was really fun. I think it's just a great way to like go places and talk about film with people. But I don't know if I think it's going to like really propel your career unless you feel like your film is like a feature and it's going to like Sundance and up for like a bidding war or something. I'm not sure. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting that you've got positive things to say about it. It can be very pretentious, I think. One, it's very expensive. I mean, if you're submitting your project to quite a few film festivals, I think that's a budget in itself. And half the time, if not most of the time, you don't get accepted. So you end up spending all that money for no reason. I am thinking about what you just said there. I do like the idea of smaller film festivals simply because of what you just said, actually mingling with people of, you know, the community, so to speak. So you can actually go in, submit your film and actually have a mingle with people like-minded like yourself. But I just feel that the ones that I've been to are just being so pretentious. And, you know, I've actually ended up not only paying for my film to get into festivals, but and then on top of that, paying to get into the festival. Then you go there and it's just so like, what is this? This is nuts. And maybe it's a big city thing, I'm not sure, but I like the idea of what you've said about, you know, going to maybe smaller ones, you know, getting involved and mingling with the community. I like the idea.
Yeah. I also think a lot of people don't do enough research on their film. And how, like, what festivals it would be good for. Like, if they make a film that's really surreal and it's maybe a student film, it's not gonna go to like Sundance. So don't like try to submit your film and pay $200. Like, maybe look for other film festivals that are low key, that like the weird films that you're making, and maybe accept more like amateur films. And then that way you have more of a chance to actually like look really good there, and it could be just a great opportunity for you. Anyways, I agree with what you're saying too.
See, that right there is a good bit of advice for us filmmakers in general that are thinking of submitting films to film festivals, is to, like you said, do your research and submit it. If it's a horror film, submit it to a horror film festival. If it's a sci-fi, submit it to a sci-fi film festival, etc., etc. I think that's been sort of touted out for a while now online, but I think we're backing that as well. So to close up, and obviously I'd like to thank you for your time, could you please tell everyone where they can find you on the social medias, and if you're allowed, tell everyone what you're working on?
So thanks for having me, this is fun. I could talk for hours about films and producing. I have an Instagram page. It's Moogyz Films, MoogyzFilms. Love the Z's. So I do post some film content on there. I also just post my life on there. I have a couple film Instagram pages for the films I'm working on, but you'd find them on my Instagram. You can add me on Facebook, Morgan Raymond. I think those are the main things that I have. Right now, I'm working on a feature film that's called Can't Seem to Make You Mine, and it's with my friends Aaron Keene and Sarah Burke, who are really talented writers, and they're going to also be directing it. I'm also producing it with my friend Jessica Barr, who's also going to be acting in it, and she's made a lot of amazing feature films as well. We're a small, like $20,000 micro budget film, and we're going to be filming in January, so hopefully there'll be some stuff on my Instagram about it later. If it turns out good, I think it will be great. So definitely check it out.
Fantastic. And I will be leaving links in the show notes in the links below. So for those that want to check out your work and check you out on Instagram and Facebook, we'll be leaving those links below. Morgan, thank you ever so much for coming on and spending time chatting about micro budget filmmaking, and it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode. You can find all the details in the show notes and more information on the Layman Filmmakers website at www.laymanfilmmakers.com. If you did enjoy this episode and what we are doing here on the Layman Filmmakers Conversation, please don't forget to leave a 5-star review and subscribe to the Layman Filmmakers Conversation YouTube channel, where you can find the video version of this podcast. There you will be able to watch this episode along with other interviews I have with others involved in no-budget filmmaking. So thanks again. Till next time, I'm Daniel Pellegrino.
You've been listening to the Layman Filmmakers Conversation. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and YouTube. Till next time, keep filming.